Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
True stories on the Summit County Justice Files. That's what it's all about right here. Thanks for listening to the Justice Files, your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we are here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Sometimes I know we're engaging, but sometimes I wonder, are we educating?
I'd like to believe so. But based on some of the episodes that we have, repeat instances of things happening that we talk about on a regular basis, like not wearing your PFD on your SUP when you're out on the Dillon Reservoir.
Or lighting fires.
Yeah, lighting fires when you're not supposed to.
Well, listen, before we get started with the podcast, just a quick disclaimer, the Justice Files exclude some of the most serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few minutes of law enforcement levity. Because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. So let's get into it. We talked about this one on the radio earlier. And you can join us, Tom Fricke and Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, on the radio on Crystal 93 Thursday mornings at about 7:45. And this morning we just talked about this search and rescue call. A teenage hiker left his home in Keystone without shoes or socks and went on a hike. Apparently he got a little argument with his dad and he ended up on a mountain and found himself in trouble.
Yeah, he was staying with his family out in Keystone, out in one of the neighborhoods there, and got in this argument with his dad, and he decided that he was going to just bolt out the door, hike up a mountain, the mountain behind where he was staying. And it turned out to be one of our local Independence Mountains out there in Keystone, and he literally hiked through the forest, like there's no trail, got to the top of the mountain, as you said, shoeless, and decided, you know, his legs started cramping on him. And he felt, as we've seen so many kids today, just give up, right?
Blowing off steam. And then that steam went away. And all of a sudden, you're on the top of a mountain without shoes and socks.
The adrenaline wore off. The cold set in.
Right.
And rescuers and sheriff's office special operations team had to go up there and retrieve the kid. I heard that they handed this kid a pair of shoes and made him walk down.
Excellent. So who wound up calling 911?
He did, actually.
He did.
He called from the top of the mountain. He had very little battery life left. Called 911. You know, because when people call 911 from a cell phone, we're able to get their coordinates. So we were able to locate where he was. And then we had to make sure that he was able to stay put until we could get to him, because there was no real easy way to get to him.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
We have the call, as a matter of fact.
Hey there, I went up Independence Mountain over here in Keystone, and my legs cramped up once I reached the top, so I can't really go.
Okay, are you on foot, or?
Yeah, I'm on foot.
Where did you start your hike from?
I started from one of the neighborhoods on the north east side.
Do you know, like, a trailhead, or?
Well, I'm right off the peak. On the north side.
And it's mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know of any trailhead for that. Do you know where you parked directly, or?
I didn't park. I just walked from where I was staying.
for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about the interesting part. I can get search and rescue started to help you out. I have a few other questions to ask before I get them started.
I have questions too.
You know, the greatest thing about now having audio files that we put in there,
right,
is that truly it would sound like we're making this stuff up, right? This is one of those file it under, you can't make this up.
It's all real.
We have the audio file.
True stories on the Summit County Justice Files. And all was well. Did he wind up putting the shoes on and hiking down then?
He ended up putting the shoes on. Got down. We got him to his parents. Him and dad made up. And, you know, vowed to never do it again. But again, you know, as we've talked about before on the podcast, this involves lots of resources.
Yeah.
You know, and as that call went on, because it went on for a while, and he was connected with one of the rescue coordinators. The rescue coordinator said, you know, it's going to, you know how long it took you to get up the mountain? That's how long it's going to take us to get to you. You know, you've got to know this, and are you going to be okay while you wait? And so the kid waited, top of the mountain.
With some cold feet.
And apparently some cramping muscles.
Right.
To the point where he couldn't get down by himself.
Well, thank goodness for search and rescue in the Summit County Sheriff's Office.
Amen to that.
There's an issue of an illegal kayak storage at the Frisco Bay Marina. The staff there notified the deputies of some kayaks that were being stored overnight on the shore near the middle school.
Yeah, so, I mean, as we know, you can't just leave. It's not good for any of us, for anybody, to leave abandoned kayaks anywhere. Because we all of a sudden think that there's obviously somebody missing from that kayak. We were able to locate the owners. We were able to educate them. They said that they were staying in a nearby Airbnb. And just like the kid that climbed the mountain, they didn't want to take these things back and forth to the house. So they thought they'd just leave them on the shore of the lake. Not a good idea when first responders are always thinking about rescue. You know, when they see an empty boat, kayak, paddleboard, they think a body's missing. So we were able to, it all ended well as well. We found them, we educated them, and they no longer stored the boats there.
It's just an all too common occurrence, though. I mean, just yesterday, the Crystal 93 staff were out on the pontoon on the lake, and by the Windy Point campground, not at Windy Point, but just a little bit closer to Sapphire Point, there's a beach there. Couple of kayaks, unattended, just laying on the beach.
Isn't that amazing?
It's like, where are the people?
Yeah.
They might be up at the campground. Don't know.
Yeah, and so when our boat patrol finds something like that,
yeah.
I mean, they've got to now go and investigate it. I mean, we can't just like go, oh, I'm sure there's somebody with it. We actually have to go look for it. There was a reported abandoned kayak at Green Mountain Reservoir, the one north of us here in Silverthorne yesterday. That we still haven't found the owner to, but that also launched a huge... and again, we asked people, either with a marker, with duct tape, something, put your name, your phone number, some way to get a hold of somebody that we called that could tell us about that watercraft. And of course, there was no markings on this boat, so...
Making it even more difficult.
You know?
Well, let's talk about this campfire, which is not cool. We're going through some fire restrictions in the high country near the Buffalo Cabin Trail on that hike on the way up to the top of Buffalo Mountain. There's a fire there that got out of control, ignited several surrounding trees. Deputies got on the scene, managed to extinguish a fire using fire extinguishers.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, the deputies did get there before the fire department. This was near a trailhead, Tom, somewhere we know really well,
yeah.
Buffalo Mountain, the top of a wilderness subdivision. This was in the middle of fire restrictions. There was nobody around. It ended up being the typical scenario where someone thought they had put out their illegal fire and walked away from their camp. This is a transitory camp. And then the winds came up in the afternoon, started it. And luckily, because it was climbing all around that area, the deputies were able to get the fire extinguishers out of their cars and put this thing out. The next day, we get a call to the same place. And, of course, we're thinking maybe it's just still smoldering from yesterday. Maybe it can't be another fire. And it was.
It was.
Yeah, lo and behold, it's another fire.
In the same area.
Yeah, the exact same place, but this time, the person living in that campsite was there, and so we have the audio file from that one too, where deputies confront him about his burning campfire.
All right, let's listen to that one here on the Summit County Justice Files.
Yeah.
So, this was yesterday.
Guys.
Pizza poo.
Oh, yeah.
What's in there? You don't see the fire that's burning in the exact stump that you have the fire burning in right now?
I don't have a stump. Wait, like next to the one. Come, you don't.
This is the big tree that you have next to the stump.
Okay.
Let me show you. In reference, there's that same big tree, same stump.
Not good.
Right here. No, definitely not good.
Not good.
So this is sorry when the deputy that is showing the guy the video out
from the day before.
The day before.
Water, right? Okay. That water's right there.
Yeah, I know. It's super wet up there.
Yeah.
I get that. But you obviously did it. So when is the real last time you had a fire?
Because I know the last time you had a drink.
No, right now. And then before that. No, that's just a small little. Right next to me to keep me warm.
Right. When is the last time besides today that you had a fire up there?
Last night.
Last night. Okay. And prior to last night, the night before, just to keep you warm?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Makes sense.
Just enough, big enough, so I'm right.
Well, warming, but yeah, I know. It got into the 50s-ish around here last night, so it wasn't warm. Okay. Will you do me a favor? Will you just add a seat on that bumper?
Yes, sir.
And just hang out for a second.
Can you take it?
Yep.
Okay. It's a 6-3 felony.
Yep. Right now?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Felony.
Do you want to explain it to us?
Yeah, it's cool. So, this is the second time we've been up here. There is a safety fire ban, and you know, this is a fact. Your fire got out of control yesterday. I know that you locked and you put it out, but you didn't. We got a call for it, and we had to do the same thing.
Right.
So right now, you're going to be placed under arrest. And you're going to go to jail, and you'll have a bond. You'll be able to bond out, but you are going to get charged with starting the fire. Make sense?
Okay.
Do you have any personal belongings that you want to bring?
Everything up there?
Like what?
There's backpack and
is there a backpack up there?
Yes.
So if I took everything and put it in a backpack and brought it with you, that would be everything that
you yes.
Have.
Okay. It's all right there.
All right there. So, yep.
Yes, sir.
And you moved it so it's not so deep wet. Okay. So what I need you to do is just stand up.
Sir.
Hands on your back.
Like, sir.
You can do a quick tag jack if you want to grab it.
So he spent the night in Summit County Jail.
Now, what are the charges pending against this man?
He's got some felony charges, you know, that pertain to burning down a forest, you know, especially during a complete fire ban.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's some serious charges. You know, I don't know that, you know, who knows? It may have been a relief to him to come to the Summit County Jail, get 3 hots and a cot instead of spending the night on a wet, cold ground in the forest.
Exactly. I mean,
that's the sad part about it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, was it were we helping him out? Was it a step up? He can come take a shower, get 3 hot meals, and sleep in a nice warm bed and not worry about a cold, wet ground.
And having to start a fire to keep warm.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so as you saw in the audio, he admitted to starting another fire. So we went out and put it out the day before.
Right.
That night, he started another one. And now today, you know, he's done 3 in a row. You know?
Not cool. So how does somebody who's like a transient getting by in the woods,
yeah,
how do they find out if there's a fire ban? Because they don't have any access to any media or any electronics or any messaging devices.
Crystal 93, of course.
Well, yes, of course. But, I mean, some people don't even have a radio.
You know, you would be surprised that out of all these people's possessions in today's world, they all have a smartphone. And they all go down to Walmart or one of the local restaurants or stores and plug in their phones and charge. You would be shocked to know that they had. I don't know if they're on some sort of government program, you know, federal program that pays for these phones, But if they may not have food, they may not have socks, shoes, but they got a smartphone.
That's amazing. I know what my cell phone bill is per month, and it's like, where do these people find that money?
I often wonder.
Yeah.
But boy, I'll tell you, you know, even if they're, you know, substance abuse, alcohol, whatever it is, they don't lose their phone. And they have that charger. It's crazy.
It is.
Crazy.
And there's plenty of messages that go out on smartphones that talk about the fire danger.
Oh, my gosh. Plenty of messages.
And there's a free app. You can listen to Crystal 93. Download the free app, and you can stream Crystal 93 anywhere in the world on your smartphone through our app. It's a cool thing, and you can stay in touch with everything going on in Summit County, wherever you are.
Summit County's information station.
Exactly. Well, the next item on the Summit County Justice Files is about an intoxicated adult. A man was contacted after he was found walking on Highway 9. He informed the deputies that he was a transient trying to get to California with limited resources.
Yeah, you know, we have the audio file for this guy, too. This is a guy we came across. And as you know, for some of these people traveling that don't know the kind of climate they're traveling through the mountains, this guy goes and talks about it. Like, he never, you'll hear that he's got like a southern accent. He never expected to run into the cold, wet weather he ran into here. And he was trying to get to California. He was going to hitchhike his way or walk to California. Our deputies, which they often do, you know, show a lot of compassion for people. And they were able to give him a Mustang ticket that would at least get him to Grand Junction. So lower, warmer, as we know, yeah, high desert.
Right.
And they gave him some food. And he was real grateful. And they gave him a ride to the bus station.
How cool is that?
You know, right? With all the things saying about police today,
yeah,
we've got some real compassionate people here
taking care
Summit
of people.
County.
Yeah.
Taking care of people, especially if they're down on their luck.
Let's listen to some of the audio from that instance.
Well, there's something we could do for you that might be able to help you a little bit. As long as it ain't no jail cell or a psych ward, I'm good.
Well, it's not going to be either of those. Take a deep breath.
And I have a bus thing ticket to get you to Junction on a bus.
That sounds perfect. We're getting way there.
I'll take that. Okay, I'm going to see if I got it.
I'll see if I have mine, too.
You want yes, water?
I'm going to see if I might have mine, too, sir. Yes, you know you're going to get a water.
Man, I feel good. Look, that's the best.
But you got to make me a deal.
Huh.
Transfer center's over here in Frisco where you get the bus. You're going to walk down over this path. There's not a lot of black bears in the daytime. I assume there's a path. Just take that. Take a walking path and stay off the road.
Okay, where's Frisco?
Frisco's
is that Frisco?
That way. Yeah, you see that green sea?
Oh, that's where I just left?
Yeah, you just left the bus area.
Dude, I didn't even know that was Frisco.
Well, maybe.
Yep.
It is. Sorry, I got one.
I haven't looked at the bus staying schedule.
I could look it up if you need to.
If you can check the schedule, tell you when the bus is coming. Well, he's got one too. Let's see if he's got one. I only have one. But that way, Frisco, there's a right at the edge. There's a what they call the transfer center.
What's it look like?
It's got a lot of buses. It's round. It's got a place you can rest, though. I would say not walking on this road down there, just to be careful.
Yeah,
this toenail,
but I'm close. What did you say? I got it.
Yes.
Let's see when they take up.
No, he's going to give you the schedule.
I appreciate it.
So, Grand Junction will put you pretty much right on the border from Colorado.
What's it connecting?
I believe it's Utah.
Yeah.
My American geography is correct. Utah is. I'll say it's Utah.
Sounds good. It's got to be close to California.
That will make you like 350 miles closer.
Hell yeah, I'll take it. The mountains look beautiful, man. It's just I don't like that cold at night.
That is definitely the downfall.
Mountains will do that to you.
I actually had this lady pull over the other night. They thought I was a girl from the back walking, and they pulled up. And I'm like, oh, man, I appreciate y'all for pulling over. And they were like, she's like, oh, shit, I thought you were a girl. And I said, well, can you at least give me a ride to the next town? And she's like, yeah. Her man in the past, she was like, yeah, bro. I go hit the back door. And he said, sorry, man.
Really?
Yeah. It was like 2 in the morning. I was
That's so
if he, was, if he like, was a girl, they would have given him a ride.
I'm puffing gas. Like, yeah, I was hot.
That was awfully, awfully mean of them and nice. It seemed pretty bold.
I know.
Got my hopes up and then just boom.
And then the stump.
Yeah, and I was scared because I was walking up 40. I didn't know anything about the mountains. And I kept hearing stuff in the bushes. Oh man.
So they pick up at the Frisco station this time of year, basically once an hour. So Frisco station, like 11:15, 12 o'clock, 12:45, 1:30, 12:15, 10:30.
Damn, dude. I've been walking since before the sun was up.
I think I saw you when I left my house this morning, as I came over the dam road.
Yeah, I was over there.
Yeah, and I just, this looks like you were after so late to me. So this is a bus tank on a memory ride ticket. So you basically have to work with the driver, and you exchange that for a ticket. Their endpoint, they have two endpoints in Junction. An airport, it's like right on the interstate, and then downtown. Downtown is there's shelters, there's restaurants, that sort of thing. If it was me, I'd go to the downtown one.
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to stay at shelters and shit.
I get you. There's a little food further. There. There's food. Yeah, and so it gets you a little farther down. Well, there is also a bus that runs from Grand Junction to Salt Lake City, which also boosts you another run. I don't have tickets to that because I'm out of Colorado. That's so cool. We have Colorado.
I really appreciate that.
I had a question for you. Do you want to walk to the transfer center or do you want one of us to give you a ride?
I'd love a ride, dude.
Give you a ride.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll get over to my car. I just need to make sure you don't have anything on you, and then I'll give you a ride down to the pit. You don't need to make sure you don't have anything on you.
I got a lighter and I did two napkins.
Those are both things you can have?
Yeah, you can hang on to those. I'll give you a ride.
That's nice, giving the man a ride.
What you call a positive interaction with
Absolutely,
law enforcement.
Absolutely, yeah.
For all the bad press cops get.
I know. Right? Right. It's a positive interaction.
Positive interaction.
This guy was a little hungry, too, right?
Yeah, he was a little hungry. Cops end up giving him food.
How cool is that?
I ain't made none today, so I'm thankful. See, this is how it works, though. You ask me how I got this. It's stuff like that, just random stuff like that.
Well, I know you get food in random ways, but Sergeant Hall's a pretty good dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll have it. It doesn't taste the best. It's peanut butter based. You're not allergic to peanut butter, right? But it's like a meal replacement. So I have a bunch of those in my car because sometimes we don't get to eat lunch and I get fucking angry.
I appreciate it.
Just so I remember.
He's giving him food. The cop giving him food out of his own stash. The deputy's giving him his own food.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That he carries around with him in case he doesn't have time to eat on his shift. He always carries around a meal replacement and gave it to this poor homeless guy.
Passing through.
And put him on the bus.
Had no idea what the mountains were all about until...
until he got here.
Until he gets here.
That's a shock a lot of people have, though, right? Yeah, until they get here, right. They go, oh, my God.
Good thing he still had his shoes and socks on.
Oh, it wasn't at the top of a mountain. He was just on the side of an interstate.
Yeah, that would have been a whole different story there. Suffolk County Justice Files. There was a resident in unincorporated Breckenridge that called for help when an unknown and intoxicated woman came to their door and rang the doorbell. She insisted that she was at the correct house, wanted to be let inside.
Tom, how many times have we talked about that an evening that starts with drugs or alcohol never ends well?
Exactly.
Never ends well. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time in Summit County when you and I have lived here as long as we have, where people would leave their doors unlocked. And probably some still do.
Sure.
And oftentimes we would get a call, a 911 call, of someone that went to the refrigerator to get a meal, got up to go to the bathroom, something, and discovered someone like in their doorway, on their couch, in their bed. And the person swears they just thought they were at the right house. They left the bar. They came home. The door was open. Well, thank God this door was locked.
That's a good thing.
But it kind of rattled this guy. I mean, he said that she wouldn't go away. And I know you have the audio on this. She wouldn't go away. She's ringing the doorbell, and she swears she lives there, and she wants to be let in.
All right.
And she wasn't going away.
Let's hear it.
Summit County 911. What's the address of the emergency? And there's a woman at your front door ringing the doorbell.
Yeah. I've tried talking to her repeatedly. She's telling her it's not our house or she's at the wrong house.
Uh-huh. What's she saying back?
just that she is at the right house and she wants me to let her in.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's just her, if she's got other people with her, or what.
Okay. And can you tell about how old she looks?
Maybe 30.
Okay. What race?
White.
Can you tell what she's wearing?
Oh, not exactly.
Okay. Dark clothing, light clothing.
That's the doorbell.
I can't tell. I can't talk on the phone and look at the video at the same time.
Okay. That's okay. And you said you're not sure if it's just her or if it's a group.
Correct.
Okay. Does there seem like there's been any alcohol or drugs involved?
Probably.
Okay.
They have to ask.
Of course.
Just heard her ringing the doorbell. About what time did she show up?
A minute ago.
Okay. Do you see any weapons?
No, but it doesn't mean she doesn't have one.
Sure. Does she appear to be, like, aggressive at all?
Can't tell.
Okay.
She's got an aggressive finger
pointing at the doorbell.
Can you send someone?
I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you earlier. They've been en route, but we've dispatched them already.
Okay.
So I've got officers en route.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get as much information for them as I can, just so that they know what they're walking into.
Important note, we send someone immediately.
Then
we get more info.
No.
Okay. All righty. And
they've already dispatched somebody. I'm telling my wife.
Can you imagine getting woken up in the middle of the night to this?
Somebody just ringing your doorbell incessantly, insisting to be let in their own home. If it's their own home, who do they expect to be home to answer the door?
That's where drugs and alcohol come in. You know what I mean? Like, wait a minute. Why is someone in my house? She should be telling them to get out. I want you to get out of my house.
Right.
Well, if I pull up my iPad, I might be able to. I mean, we've got video. I mean, it's recorded everything. It's a Ring doorbell camera.
Okay.
Good for evidence.
Yeah.
Funny side note to this, her boyfriend reported her missing at the same time.
Oh, is that right? I'll see where they are for you, but I've got two deputies en route. Okay?
We were already looking for her, and now we know where she is.
Yeah, do you want me to stay on the line with you until they get there?
Oh, I don't.
So she is probably waiting for her boyfriend to open the door, which wasn't happening.
No, there's no need.
I don't even know if she remembered that she had a boyfriend.
Oh, man.
But it's just one of those things where simultaneously we're getting a 911 call of the boyfriend going, yeah, I'd like to report my girlfriend missing. She walked out of a bar and can't find her.
And now she's ringing somebody else's doorbell. We found her.
No worries, sir. We found her.
So what happened to her?
Oh, we sent her home with the boyfriend, and he said he'd take care of her. And, you know, the guy at the house didn't want to press any charges. But, boy, that's a scary, you know, if you're not waiting for it, you know what I mean? If you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I first moved here, right? First moved here, cop from the big city. You know, 21 years ago, you know, living here in Breck, and in the middle of the night, like literally 2:30 in the morning, someone's pounding on my front door, screaming, call 911, call 911, call 911. And I'm like, you know, you go into combat mode.
Right.
You know what I mean? Turns out it's my neighbor who... He said his girlfriend had cut off her finger with a knife. They were cutting some food up, late night drinking, having making a little food, and sliced her hand and her finger off, and their cell phone didn't work. And could I call 911? And I'm like, you probably should not be pounding on someone, especially a cop's door.
Exactly.
In the middle of the night.
Middle of the night.
Just screaming nothing but call 911.
Yeah. Not cool.
Not cool.
That may elicit a response that you were not expecting.
He did get a response he was not expecting. Not because sure. I went out my back door.
Okay.
Came around the front.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shined a flashlight on him.
Uh-huh.
And said, "What are you doing at my front door?"
Yeah. And he calmly explained.
He says, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm your neighbor." I'm like, "You could have led with that."
Yeah.
"I'm your neighbor. Please call 911. My girlfriend has cut her hand. Our cell phone doesn't work."
And all ended well in that case.
And then, you know, the adrenaline dump, right? Everything.
Right. Yeah.
Boy.
Boy, that initial rush.
That initial, who the heck is pounding on my door? You don't do that in the big city, Tom.
No. Not at all. Not at all. I was just remembering when I was a kid growing up in a small town, and when somebody knocked on the door, it was so exciting. I'll get it. I'll get it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll get it. Somebody's at the door. Oh, my God, I'll get it. And now it's like somebody knocks at the door. It's like, shh, be quiet.
Yes.
Pretend we're not home.
Yes. And you look at your, like that guy did. You look at your camera, your Ring camera, and you go, who's at my door?
Who the hell is that?
Turn off the lights.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? The world was a safer place then.
It's changed.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
And there were no cell phones, right?
No.
Carried around change to make a payphone call.
Right.
Oh, my God.
We had party lines.
Oh.
You'd pick up the phone to make a call. Somebody's on it already. Oh, man, I can't make a call until they're done.
Or emergency breakthrough.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You call the operator and go, I need to do an emergency breakthrough.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, stand by.
Can you even call an operator anymore?
I don't think there are operators.
I haven't pushed zero on a keypad for a long time to get a hold of an operator.
Let's try that.
We should do that.
Let's do it.
See
Let's
who
do
answers.
It on the next podcast.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see who answers.
We'll record that.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Well, we're in the middle of the Summit County Justice Files, and we're talking about a theft now. The morning after leaving his car unlocked in a parking garage at Copper Mountain, a man discovered that tools were missing from his vehicle and that both his center console and glove box had been emptied.
Yeah, Tom, again, this is one of the, like you were just talking about PFDs, this is one of these stories we talk about and talk about where people leave their car unlocked. They leave valuables that are visible, and then they're surprised when they're gone.
Right.
What this led us to was, because this guy made so much noise, is we found a couple other victims in the same parking garage that had also left their vehicles unlocked and valuables visible, and were now gone. This case is still under investigation. You know, we fingerprint everything. We try to get as many leads as we can off it. You know, as we've talked about before many times, especially where this was, these are crimes of opportunity, where these are places close to the interstate, close getaway, where they can get off the interstate back on. And I say crime of opportunity because they're literally checking for open doors and valuables that they can see. Something easy, open a door and grab it and run.
You know who else is checking for easily open doors? Bears.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the lady ringing the doorbell.
No. Oh, I'm sure of that one too. Yeah. But bears.
Oh, it's that time.
Yeah, they're loading up. It's, what is it, hyperplasia or something like that, where they've got to stock up
and
have 20,000 calories a day to get into hibernation. So, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're parked or you live in a remote area, just in the woods where nobody's around. You have no neighbors for miles. Don't leave your vehicle unlocked because bears, they know how to open doors.
Oh, my God. They're getting smarter and smarter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've got cameras on my house. I know it's no surprise to you, but I've caught a couple bears this summer just cruising through my yard.
Sure.
It's kind of cool. You know, but now now, like you said, they're in that whatever stage you just said, I'm very hungry stage.
Yes.
And they are looking for calories.
And they are creatures of opportunity. And if they find an unlocked car or truck door, they will open it and ravage until they find something that's sweet. Even if I've heard stories of, I just had a chapstick. It was a cherry chapstick in the glove box. They smell that.
Yes.
They'll find it.
Oh, my God. And they will rip apart.
Absolutely.
We have had some horrible stories and great photos.
Yeah.
if you're not the one owning the car,
right.
Of, oh my God, where they have literally ripped out seats, ripped out dashboards, mm-hmm. ripped, trying to get to that air freshener inside the air vent.
Right.
Oh my God.
Watch out for the bears.
Speaking of wild animals eating things, I had deer at my house in the middle of the night eating all my flowers. And it's usually, here's what's weird. They do this every fall, and usually I don't care because we're getting freezing nights now, and I'm sure. Like, the flowers are at the end of their thing.
Yeah.
And the deer always come and gobble them up. They're early, just like everything else that's happened early this year. I'm like, why are they eating my flowers? It's only the first week of September.
Yeah, right.
You're not supposed to be eating my flowers for two or three more weeks.
Well, we'll see how the season goes if everything's coming early.
Look at all the leaves changing.
We might be skiing by Halloween.
Let's go. We can do it. We can do it. We're skiing. We'll do the podcast.
Yeah, we could do that.
And we'll have reports of stolen skis on the White Ribbon of Death soon.
Stay tuned. We might have to do that on Snow
that
Podcast.
Cool?
We could do that.
For sure.
Yeah. Back in July, a patrol responded to a threat that occurred on the Meadow Creek Trail. A group of four hikers who were visibly upset and shaking explained that they encountered a woman who was speaking to a ranger on the trail. What? Speaking to a ranger?
So this is really cool. I mean, it's not cool what happened because
right.
these people got accosted on a trail. They were hiking. Lady was on a horse. She used her horse like, I'm going to run you guys over if you don't get off the trail.
Ooh.
Yeah, it wasn't a nice encounter.
Yeah.
And she used a lot of expletives. She used a lot of, you know, slurs that were not appropriate or nice. But this is one of these things that only in Western Colorado, right? Like, this wouldn't happen in California. So one of the people in the party, there was four of them, took a photo of the lady on the horse. Detectives had no leads. These people obviously had no leads. The horse went one way, these people went another. We took the report. We got the picture of the horse, and one of our detectives, there's things out here in Colorado called brand inspectors. It's a really cool job. But their job is to one of their jobs is to categorize all brands across the state. And so we sent this picture of the horse out. And the brand inspector said, you know, it's not a Colorado brand, but let me send this out on our listserv that'll go across the country. And we found out that it was it belonged to a horse in New Mexico. The brand came off, and we knew the person who registered the brand, who matched the description of the lady in the photo. And these detectives were able to put together this whole case with this lady. And they got her on the phone. She's in New Mexico, granted. They got her on the phone to interview her, and they, you know, you expected someone to go, I don't know it's not me. Good day.
Yeah.
She started going off on the detective and recounting the whole story, how she just, these people irritated her, and she almost ran them over, and that she did call them, she recalled them all these names. And to the detective's shock, and so the detectives issued a warrant for this lady based on the interview, based on the, started with the horse's brand, informed the lady that in case you're thinking about coming back to Colorado, there's going to be a warrant out for your arrest, because she wanted to know, what does this mean? What do I do? Well, we're going to issue a warrant. It won't be extraditable from New Mexico, but should you find yourself back in Colorado and someone runs you or you accost someone else on a trail? And she said that she was on the Great Divide Trail on her horse, that she was trying to do the whole Great Divide Trail, and this was just a section of the trail she was doing. But literally, verbatim recounted the story. The detectives found the ranger, and the ranger said, oh yeah, I saw this lady on this horse. I did have a conversation with her. I mean, never does a story check out like top to bottom, right? There's always holes in a story. This lady made sure there was no holes in her own story, which was just crazy.
Recounting with 100% accuracy.
And then some.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. Even saying that she was going to run these people over with her horse. She was going to use her horse as a weapon.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. So what are the rules of the trail?
Well, you know, uphill travel always has the right of way. I would say hikers have the right of way over a mountain bike, over a horse, over a... but, you know, as we know, that people would argue that. You know what I mean? Like, we have conflicts on our on our trail system and our rec path system all the time with all the mixed users. You see many places now where they have separate trails, even on our Frisco Peninsula,
yep.
where they have separate hiking trails now,
right.
just to kind of mitigate some of these conflicts. But I always say is always, the real etiquette is whoever you come across, just give them the right of way.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a mountain biker, and I pretty much yield to everybody.
You know,
I think that's what bikers are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yield to pedestrians, yield to horses, anybody who's using the trail. Give them a little space.
And
horses, there's room enough for everybody.
There is room enough, and horses can spook. You know, this was this lady, in her own defense, she was like, you know, my horse had been spooked, not by this group, by other people along her big travels, and that horses can spook, and she wanted to prevent. She was just trying to do a little preventive maintenance and get these people out of her way. Crazy.
Do we know if she accomplished what she set out to do by the whole trail? Or
I don't know if they asked her. You know, I wonder, you know, now that they've issued a warrant for arrest, I might be able to track down the phone call. That would be interesting, right? For the Justice Files.
Stay tuned. There's more to come on the Summit County Justice Files. But for now, that's a wrap for this week on the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
And just so we're clear, Tom, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, even the woman on the horse. Even the ding-dong ditch lady.
Right.
With that, ding-dong stay lady. She stayed.
Ding-dong stay.
With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, well, you know it never ends well, and you might just end up on our next feature.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. That web address, the URL, is summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, thank you, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, for your service.
Hey, thank you, Tom. We did have some laughs today.
Yes.